We begin this morning on Thought Leader Thursday with Greg Warsek, who's the Senior Vice President and Senior Regional Manager for the Chicago Market for Commercial Real Estate at Associated Bank. We'll have a conversation this morning about commercial real estate. Greg, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be here.
Let's start with Sears because it's in the news. The share prices are about $3 a share. Eddie Lampert's trying to get some of those brands sold off. And it seems like we keep having this conversation about Sears dying, but it's still here. And there are more closures. What's going on with Sears?
Your guess is as good as mine. I'm not sure what his intentions were when he bought Sears. But 5 years ago, there were still 2,000 Sears and Kmart stores open. And today, after the recent announcement of more closures, several of which were in Chicago, they're now down to 800 stores. So I think, I hate to use this term, but it's what we use in the commercial real estate business is they're sort of in a death spiral. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of time where this really becomes a real estate play, not really a retail play anymore.
Well, and that's why I bring it up to you. How is the closure of some of these Sears stores, and I don't know how many of them are anchor stores like in a mall or at commercial real estate or other stores that are around them. But how is this impacting this landscape?
Well, I guess the good news is that it's they're slowly closing the stores. So it's giving mall owners and strip center owners, the opportunity to digest these closures slowly and figure out game plans and reinvent and reinvent what they're going to do with this space. Sears tend to be in the malls. There's some examples like we've talked about where they're freestanding stores in urban areas, and Kmart's tend to be in more of the strip centers. But a lot of them, it goes through a series of different iterations of what do you do with it? Do you find a replacement tenant for the whole thing? Do you chop it up? Do you make it into something else?
And what are you seeing? I mean, I know you have your ear to the ground on this. When you say chop it up, you mean so the anchor Sears store would be like a couple of different stores?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I mean, when you see this occurring, and some of it we're seeing through our financing requests, and they're getting pretty creative, and frankly, it's kind of fun. It's very interesting to look at these deals. You look at the size of these Sears stores, and it's really any anchor. They're quite large, several hundred thousand square feet, so it's very difficult to find somebody to take all that space. So what you tend to see is the mall owner buying the space or taking it back from Sears after they close the store and chopping it up, if you will, demising it into multiple uses. And we're seeing grocery stores, other big box retailers like sporting goods, value apparel, fitness centers. So you'll see it chopped up into a series of different things. The other thing that we're seeing is reinventing the space, if you will, into more experiential type retail that is the new buzz, which is a series of restaurants, a theater that serves alcohol and food, and other types of venues that draw people like Whirly Ball or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we discussed this a long time ago, but in Southern Illinois, where my family lives, one of the Sears stores was turned into a drone place where people go and they fly their drones and they have beer and it's, a fun, like almost like an amusement park setting because that store is so big.
Right, and it's net a positive thing for the remainder of that mall and for the retailers. It's a draw, and that's pretty extreme, the drone one, but you're seeing athletic fields. You're seeing trampoline parks, all kinds of unique things that we've never seen before.
From a real estate perspective, do you think that when Sears goes away completely, that we've seen the last of these big anchor stores in the malls, like retail anchor stores?
It feels like it to me that it really has to be a smaller, more efficient space. I think a lot of retailers are, it's going to be a combination of stores and e-commerce, and that means smaller square footage. So yes,
you mentioned this big box, this space getting new life, the Sears being broken up. But that's happened to a lot of the big box retailers, even the standalone stores, isn't it? Part of the trends in real estate?
Yeah, across all retail, it just seems that most of them are trying to shrink their space, be more efficient. And it's not just the department stores. We're seeing it in the sporting goods space. We're seeing it in office supply. All retailers are just trying to be more efficient with their space. Some have gone really to even kind of a showroom concept where they put strategically located showrooms throughout certain cities, and most of it's done online. Go in and see it, but then you order it and it's shipped to your house.
What is the lending experience like here when somebody comes to you and says, we have one of these experiential ideas we want to put in this store? How do you decide which one of those might be better than the other and which you'll loan to?
That's a great question, Steve, because even though it's interesting and you know, conceptually it'll probably work, sometimes not very easy to finance. So from a lender's perspective, trying to finance some of these can be a challenge. Because the credit on the tenants, quite honestly, sure, is not always as strong as you'd like to see.
In my mind, I think it's better to have something in there making money than nothing, though. That must be a hard decision. It must be a hard decision.
Well, I guess it's a two-part question. If they bring it to you brand new and you don't have the loan currently, it's easier to say no. But if you already have the loan on the center and they bring it as a replacement tenant and you view it as a positive draw for the center overall, you might be more inclined to do it.
One of the ideas that you haven't talked about that I saw in this report that I found about what these big box stores and, you know, big properties are being turned into, retirement centers. That's kind of a unique idea.
Yeah, it's, you know, senior housing or apartments. I actually think that there's a lot of room for that to develop because, you know, the seniors are also have a lot of disposable income, access to what generally there's theaters, fitness centers. So I think it kind of makes sense to have some senior housing apartments being a part of some of these redevelopments.
Greg, are we far enough into the tax law, the new tax law, to know how this is impacting real estate investments? Are there any trends developing?
Based on what I've seen in the tax law changes, I think it's going to be a net positive for commercial real estate. I think commercial real estate has already been viewed as a very, you know, stable investment source, but I think interest is going to increase because the new tax law is going to improve yields on a couple of different fronts from the standpoint of handling of depreciation, income, you know, pass-through entities, things of that nature. I'm not going to get into the weeds on it, but the long and the short is that there are three pretty material changes that I think are going to enhance the returns for real estate funds, particularly private equity funds and REITs that operate in that space.
And so you wouldn't shy people away from investing in this area?
I would not. In fact, I think there's more upside, frankly, from this new tax treatment. The only thing that was negative that was disappointing to me was as it relates to low-income tax credits. As a result of the federal taxes rate changing from 35 to 21%, you know, the appeal of the tax credits has gone down, and I think that's going to be a negative impact on affordable rental housing.
Speaking of rental housing, one of the other subjects I wanted to cover, we've had reports of rents going through the roof. That seems to be coming down a little bit, even though they're still high.
Yeah, you know, the rent growth is an important metric that we look at from a lending perspective, and it's still pretty solid throughout the Midwest. I'd say the softest of all of them would be Chicago, and a lot of that has to do with the amount of building that has occurred. The good news is it's absorbing. The bad news is that rental growth is starting to taper off quite a bit in Chicago. It's almost flat now.
And is that for retail rental and also apartment rentals? Are we talking?
That's just apartment rentals. And that's an average, too. So you really got to look at submarket to submarket. But we still feel really good about the apartment market in Chicago and in the Midwest.
On the apartments, I think Rent Cafe reported that in May, The average monthly rent for an apartment in Chicago was $1,831. That's if somebody's out there with a mortgage and they live in that a similar condo for that, that's a lot more than you'd be paying for that mortgage, I bet, right now.
Absolutely. But it's interesting. You look at the renters right now, there's an awful lot of millennials and Gen Xers that really just prefer the flexibility of renting still. Mm-hmm. It's just not appealing to them to own.
At what point does it become too expensive for people to live here? I'll compare our rent to Columbus, Ohio, where it's $889 a month. And even though that's up 4%, when does the rent figure become too much?
That's a great question. I wish I had the answer, Steve. We ask ourselves that all the time. And when we're looking at financing these projects, we sort of are looking for that sweet spot of keeping, at least in Chicago, under $2,000. The good news is that there's high salary jobs in this market, mm-hmm. that can offset that to some extent, but definitely the cost of living in a big city is on the high side.
Every time you're here, I'm going to ask you this question because I think you probably have secret knowledge. What do you hear about Amazon?
I have no secret knowledge. I wish I did. There's a lot of murmurs about front runners. I like to think that Chicago is still in there because whoever gets them, I really think it's going to be a game changer.
Greg, it's always good chatting with you. We'll see you again next time.
All right. Look forward to it.
Greg Worsick is the Senior Vice President, Regional Manager for the Chicago Market for Commercial Real Estate at Associated Bank. It's our Thought Leader conversation. We do it for you every Thursday right here on The Opening Bell. You can hear our past conversations at WGNRadio.com and also follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter. Head over to their website, AssociatedBank.com/ThoughtLeadership, to learn more about our thought leaders and also hear more conversations there.